My guest, by way of telephone at her home in Crystal Beach, Florida, is Betty Maltz. In 1959, Betty died for 28 minutes, and we're about to find out what happened during that very significant 28 minutes. Betty, were you raised in a Christian home?
Yes. Yes, as a child, I grew up believing in eternal life and heaven.
Did you ever have any thoughts as a young person about death?
I never considered death because I had never been sick. I had always had a lot of self-confidence and very good health.
But I understand a point came when you did get sick. Tell me about that.
It all came to a scrambling halt when on a vacation in Florida, I ended up in heaven. I had never been to Florida, and my family, my mother, my dad, my two kid brothers, my husband, my daughter and I, two families of us came here. The first night, I ended up very sick in the hospital. The first doctor said it was an appendix ready to rupture. Second doctor said it was a vaginal infection aggravated by hot July weather in Florida. The third doctor examined me and said it was a tubular pregnancy, a 4-month dead fetus in the right tube, and I needed surgery immediately. They let me go 11 days, and when they finally opened me up, they found out the first doctor was right. It was a ruptured appendix 11 days ago, and they found a mass of gangrene the size of a man's head. It had coated all my organs, and they had all started to disintegrate.
What was the prognosis at that point? I mean, was it a potential you would die at that point?
Yes, the doctor that operated on me said he had lost 200-pound men in 48 hours after a ruptured appendix. He didn't know how an 11-day lapse like this, how a woman with only 120 pounds to fight, could last for 11 days, but he told my family that it would be over in probably 24 hours. But I lingered for 44 days in a coma, and I took pneumonia, my veins collapsed, everything went wrong that could go wrong. And at the end of that 44 days, they removed the equipment, and my family all went home to the motel to get some rest.
Were you aware of anything going on during those 44 days?
Oh, yes, I heard everything that went on in the room. In fact, the prayers of the people were wonderful. It offered hope. There were a lot of negative things said in the room that caused me to be worse. I have 102 pages of medical records. I was either worse after visiting hours or better, much better, according to the kind of visitors I had. But I heard everything that went on. And I prayed too, Sid. In fact,
while you were in the coma, you prayed?
At this point, when I was in the coma, there was no one in the room, and they had moved equipment, and I prayed for someone to help me because I had fluid in my lungs. A man came in the room and began to read the Bible to me, not knowing if I could hear at all. And he read Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. And when that man left the room, I loved him so much. I had known him, and I had never liked that man. But he had brought me a key to life. I never again will judge a person by their outward appearance, and I will not penalize a person for a lack of education or because of one. Because just before I gasped my last breath, the words of the scripture he read, he sent his word and healed them, brought hope to me. But after he left, I gasped, and I didn't understand that I was dying. Suddenly, I was launched instantaneously. It was not frightening, and it was very rapid.
Let me ask you something, though. But when you died, was there pain attached with it?
No. It was very exciting. It was like getting on a roller coaster at Disneyland. And when you peak the high point of the ride, I was launched from this country to a place as real as England or America. I walked through a meadow of waving green grass.
Did you know that you were headed towards heaven?
Oh, yes. I knew where I was. And
Was anyone with you?
I looked to the left of me, and there was an angel about 7 feet tall walking beside me. I also saw people who had died there that I knew. My baby brother and other people were coming toward me.
How did they look?
Through this meadow. They were not spooks floating around being nice. They were very natural. This was a very natural place. People were doing the same thing there that they did here, only in a very perfect environment. Or they were becoming there what they wanted to be here, only never quite made it. And then after I went through the countryside, without effort, the angel and I went up a hill, and he touched the gate, and it opened to me, and I stood inside of a brilliant yellow light, and I looked into a golden throne room. The light from the face of Jesus at the right of the Father in that throne room was so bright I had to look down. And when I did, that light reflected on a golden boulevard down the center of the city, and it shined through my cold body, and I stood tall and erect, though I had had 3 surgeries and been rolled over in pain for 44 days. I stood, and then I began to run to the right of me, and I ran through what looked like northern lights or airport beacons or laser beams. These were prayers ascending from the earth, going into that throne room. And on one shaft of light was my father's voice. When they called, Mary Barton, a registered nurse, called my parents and my husband, and they arrived at the hospital, my dad went over to the bed where I was covered with a sheet, and he moaned, Jesus, to comfort himself. But he said, in that one word was a wish that I had not died. I never wanted to come back, but his one-word prayer changed my mind.
In other words, the prayer ascended right up to heaven, and
yes,
you heard it as if you were right there in that bedroom?
See, this taught me how to pray when I came back. I never saw prayers as energy rays that are shafted direct to the throne room, but that's what prayer is. And his prayer was answered. I came back, and I looked through the roof of the hospital into my room. And a light was shining through the window, which was the morning sunrise. On the ray of light were ivory letters printed. And if you remember, Art read to me. He sent his word and healed them. And I saw these ivory letters, and as I squinted, I read St. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I reached up to see if it was hallucination or real, and I touched the word of God, and life went in my fingers and in my body. I sat up and pushed the sheet off my face and scared a whole room full of people.
I can imagine. In other words, the room was filled with your mourning relatives, and
yes,
and you're sitting up?
Yes. And about 20 minutes later, my doctor was called back to the hospital, and he was terribly embarrassed. And then he told me we had to operate immediately.
What do you mean your doctor was terribly embarrassed?
Well, he signed a death certificate, and now I'm sitting up in bed. It looks to the other doctors as though he was negligent.
When you were up in heaven, you heard a voice, and it was your father's voice praying for you on earth, and he was praying Jesus. And it was at that point you could have either stayed in heaven or come back. Is that correct?
I don't think, Sid, we realize the power of prayer, because that one word moan changed my mind. I never wanted to come back. But my father's voice, he merely said, Jesus, to comfort himself. But in that one word prayer was a wish that I had not died. I believe anything large enough for a wish to light upon is worth hanging a prayer upon. And something else that dawned on me, there were no labels. When I arrived at that beautiful gate, they did not even ask me what church I went to. The only passport visa was Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And immediately, I saw him at the right of a father in a golden throne room. And it was awesome.
Did you, you told me that you saw some of your deceased relatives there, and did they look like they did when they died, or
yes,
did they look younger?
No, they were very natural, And the Bible says one day is as a thousand years with the Lord. I believe children grow very slowly there because we've got forever to mature.
And what, to the best of your understanding, what were the people doing?
They were doing the same thing there they did here.
Tell me what you saw them doing.
Sid, I have interviewed 103 people who have died and come back now. And everyone that's had a death experience since 1960 have seen construction going on there. There was an anticipation, a getting ready for a large number of people that will arrive there at one time.
Now, when you're saying construction, are you saying you saw people with hammers and nails? Were they building, though, the way they would be building on Earth, or what, did it look different?
Very much the same, only the architecture was so awesome, it would take many programs to describe.
I'm sure you've been asked this before. How do you know you didn't just fantasize this entire thing?
Well, I was taught not to be afraid of death, and the Bible says that Jesus is the only way, and if you believe on him, you shall receive eternal life. And I was taught that, but it was not until it actually happened to me. In fact, I told my father, who was my pastor, that I didn't want to go to heaven. I thought it was a place where people floated around like spooks being nice, sitting on a damp cloud, playing a harp. Or I thought it was wall-to-wall church, but it wasn't. It was an awesome place.
No, but again, Betty, how do you know you didn't just imagine this experience? You were in a coma for 44 days.
Yes. Well, I asked my doctor, and he wondered if it was hallucinating. But when he pulled back the sheet and looked, they had never even sewed me up. I had been operated on 3 times. There was new pink skin forming on all 3 incisions. And he said, wherever you went, you came back well. I was blind with toxic poisoning, and they thought I would always be blind. But I came back, and my vision is very good. They said I would never have other children. I had a baby born 2 years after that, perfect. The doctor said, I cannot send you home. For 7 or 8 weeks, you will have mental therapy, physical therapy, and we must do a colostomy within 20 minutes. He prepped himself and sent someone up to shave me and to bring me something to wet my parched mouth. I'd been on a stomach pump for over a month and had 105 fever, but a nurse's aide made a mistake and brought me someone else's tray with 2 broiled pork chops. Applesauce, cottage cheese, a square of cake, and a pot of tea. And so they were so frightened, the doctor said, don't even pump her stomach, just get her to surgery.
Oh, you ate that, you mean?
I ate it, polished it off.
But weren't you worried about eating that?
Oh, no, I knew where I had been, though he didn't know where I had been. When I sat up, Sid, I'm 5'12", I only weighed 68 pounds. But the orderly took me to the restroom, not knowing I wasn't supposed to go there. My plumbing all worked, and it still does every day.
Betty, how has this changed your life?
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what it did for me. I was a scrambler before. But do you know what? People do not believe that I did not have a holy thought as I died. The last thought that came to me was, you can't take it with you. I realized the only thing that you take with you to eternity is people.
What do you mean by that?
And I've come back with a love for people. You can't take things, but you can invest in people, love people, save people, heal people. The only thing you take with you is people to eternity. You just go naked as you are before God. See, the things which cannot be seen are eternal, and the things which are visible are temporary. My next book is going to be Touching the Invisible World. Because I came back, I never liked people before. I worked at a jewelry store. I liked jewelry. I liked registered quarter horses and pedigree collie dogs. I never liked people. But I came back with a love for people. And I want to tell people about eternity and about heaven. And that's what I've done. The last 12 years since the first book was published, I have been sharing the good news.
Betty Maltz, tell me about this second chance that God has given you.
Sid, I missed a lot the first time around. And after I had a second chance to live again and love people again, I began to study the life of Jesus because I saw his throne room. And I realized that Jesus never spent time hobnobbing with the snobs, but he spent his entire life gravitating toward need. And if you want to have real joy and get rid of your own depression, start gravitating toward the needs of people. And that's what I have started to do, just to gravitate toward the needs of others. I talked with Gordie Howe, and he says, behind every heart that beats, there is a secret sorrow. And so I've tried to seek out what I could do to help other people to find the way.
Yeah, most people think it's just them that are having the problems.
Oh,
but you're telling me this is to be human in an imperfect world is to be surrounded with problems.
Some people have insulated themselves with an artificial front, but everyone, no one escapes need. And if you really want God to energize you and make life fulfilled here, with great investment rewards there, start investing in the needs of other people.
Do you have problems forgiving people after this experience?
Not anymore.
I mean, you could now be candid. You go into the restaurant, you order something.
Appendix is ruptured and you've had pneumonia and you lay open decaying in front of people, nothing bothers you after you've died. You'd be surprised.
But this was back in 1959. Do you find yourself slipping some now?
Do you know what? This was so vivid. This is a living testimony. You do not take something like that very lightly. It's not something you forget.
Last question. Is the Messiah returning in your lifetime?
Yes, I believe he will come very soon.
But wait a second. Every believer of every generation has said what just came out of your mouth. Why do you think different?
The scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. I believe I've already had my only taste of death. I think I will go in the great airlift. That's my opinion.